Welcome back to Sports Day. As we said at the top of the program, lucky enough to get 5 or so minutes of the time of Darren Carr, one of our finest coaches and such an influence over the last 20 years in the world
of
tennis.
Every player that he touches, Jared, in the last decade seems to rise up the ranks.
And that is why I'm really...
Anisimova is the last one of those.
Well, that's the one I'm really excited about.
I actually said it wrong again. Anisimova.
I think he's got an A-grade talent, and she may well be one or two or three that can challenge Ash Barty throughout the year. Darren Carr joins us just before he gets into the makeup room for what's a really big match tonight. Tsitsipas versus Sinner. Two of the young guns coming through. Welcome to you, Darren.
G'day, boys. How's it going? It might be a bit of noise here. I'm just sitting on Rod Laver Arena at the moment, so sorry about the noise, but yeah, looking forward to a couple of big matches.
Well, tonight you've got Sinner, who can be anything. I think the whole world's now woken up just to how good he is, and what a gutsy performance by Tsitsipas, his last outing. He looked like he was gone for all money at 2-1 down, and you just gutsed it out and turned it into a street fight.
Yeah, I guess Tsitsipas has got a little more experience on his side of the court, and he's not the number four seed for nothing. He's made the semis here before. He got wiped by Nadal a couple of years ago in the semifinals, but he's continuing to put himself into these parts of the tournament, deep into the second week. We know, of course, last year he played that amazing run at the French Open, had Novak 2-love up, and then Novak came back and won that tournament. So a bit more experience on his side of the court, but I love the way Sinner plays. Mm. We've been speaking about him for the last 2 or 3 years. Ricardo Piatti, his coach, about 3 years ago, he grabbed me. And when Sinner was about 17 years of age, he said, "You've got to come out and have a look at this kid. I've been coaching for a few years from Italy. He's really good. He was actually a downhill skier as a kid. He's got beautiful balance and he hits a mean ball." And I went and watched him as a 17-year-old and was thoroughly impressed. And he hasn't let anybody down. And I actually think in the next 2-3 years, you know, with the shape of Nadal and Djokovic and these players maybe moving on from the game, that this kid's a potential number one player in the world.
Yeah, he looks exciting. I'm really looking forward to tonight's game. In fact, a question on system. Do you believe it's cyclical? Do you believe it's system-based that all of a sudden Italy have got Berrettini and Jack Sinner coming through? Are these just mushrooms that pop up in the wild, or is it because of systems they've put in place? In Canada, all of a sudden, you've got three guys that are, all capable, it seems.
Auger, Aliassime, Shapovalov,
Milos,
Raonic, who's been out for a bit.
I mean, you've got some genuine talent there. Do you put it down to the system of the local body, or do you put it down to just a bit of luck?
Actually, super impressed there, Jared, with your pronunciations for someone that's probably not following tennis 52 weeks of the year. Did a great job with those names.
Thank you.
You know what I put it down to? I put it down a little bit to the federation getting the facilities and getting good coaches and paying some decent money to make sure they've got some good coaches in the federations and they're getting these kids at a younger age.
Yep.
But nothing beats healthy competition. So if you get one or two kids around about the same age that are pretty good, that healthy competition pushes each other and drives each other. And we normally find that you get a group of 4, 5, 6 kids around about the same ages that have a healthy rivalry and they're extremely competitive amongst the group and they push each other. And that's what we're seeing in Italy. It's not just him, there's Sonego as well. He's a young kid that's playing pretty well now. Berrettini is just a gun. And they're all good guys. They all help each other. All the coaches work together. They don't just stick with their own player. They help each other and help the team. So yeah, I think it's more that than it is anything else.
Darren, you've coached some of the greats. What's the number one priority? As we hear the announcer coming over the ground, what's the thing that improves a player the quickest from a coaching perspective? Is it fitness?
Same with all sports, to be honest. I think it's hard work, a good attitude, an ability for the coach to get through to the player, the message they're trying to get through. It's a two-way street when it comes to tennis. You can have a great player and you can have a great coach, but if they're not on the same page and they're thinking different things, then it's never going to work. And I think the most important thing for a coach is to coach through the player's eyes and not through the coach's eyes. You know, tennis coaches, 2, 3, 4 years maximum, they kind of move on from the players. And you can't coach all the players the same way. So it takes a little bit of time to understand how the player sees the game of tennis, how you're going to improve them. And then once you earn their trust, you can make some changes to help them improve their tennis. So I don't think it's really any different in any other sports. It just is that tennis is one-on-one and you're not looking after a group of players.
But do you have to coach a player psychologically? I mean, we've heard Medvedev speak quite openly in the last week or so about the fact that he's hired a psychologist to come on board, whereas other players don't have that.
There's a little bit of that for sure. There's no question that trying to eliminate a lot of the nerves before the players go out and play and sticking to game plans, how they deal with pressure, what type of shots they're going to execute in the big moments, and how they deal with not only losses after a match. Some players can go into a bit of a funk for a week or so after a tough loss, and some players are ready to jump back on the court and keep improving the next day. So the mentality of all the players is really, really different. You treat each player completely differently. I know just my small experience here with Amanda, that even though, you know, playing the same game, you're trying to beat different opponents, I can't coach Amanda the same way that I could coach Simona because they have completely different games. So I just spent a little bit of time trying to understand, you know, what she's thinking in the big moments and what type of game she wants to play. And then you can kind of tailor a game plan around that. But a lot of that has got to do with selling belief to the players. And that's probably, that's what you're going after there.
Yeah.
Probably the most important thing is that in the big moments, the best players in the world, they have real belief in what they can do and what they can execute, and making sure that you get the players to play to their strengths in those moments.
So I just wonder, Jared, I mean, I'm just guessing here, but he talks about belief. Does Nick Kyrgios get to a point where he no longer believes in himself at a point in a big match? Is that the thing, I wonder, that's holding him back? Because it's not talent.
Well, we know that. What's your thoughts there, Darren?
Well, Nick's different, right? He's just cut from a whole different box. And I think that Nick's been telling us for years and years that he's this type of person and this is the type of game that he wants to play, and he wants to play for a bit of entertainment. He doesn't want to take it as seriously as the top players in the world. And all of us in the media, in the game, as coaches, have all been saying, what if? What if Nick did take it a little bit seriously? But that's never been his style. And I actually interviewed Rafa about 2 years ago. They played that great match at Wimbledon about 2 or 3 years ago. And I interviewed Rafa straight afterwards. And I said to him, what do you think of this guy? Because to us, it looks like he's got everything to be a top five player in the world. What if he did put in the work? Do you think he could get there? And Rafa just looked at me with that little Spanish smile that he's got and raised an eyebrow. And he said, Darren, I don't work in ifs. That's not my world. I work in reality. And I just, that's what it is. And that's kind of what it is for me.
Can we move on to the ladies' side of the draw? And in particular, your charge, Amanda Anisimova.
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 We're all going to get that
wrong. We are. I know you don't get it wrong, Darren. But I saw her beat Osaka in incredible circumstances, and she just, for the life of me, looked like an A-grade talent ready to come through.
How good was that match?
It was an incredible game. It was probably the best game so far. And then she comes up against Ash Barty, and it was probably a godsend for a coach in potentially you for a long period of time, because it gave her a classic example, an education in where she has to go to get better. She can beat probably 90% of the field playing the way she wants to play. To beat Ash Barty on a regular basis, she's going to have to learn. How do you take her through that journey?
Well, it's a good lesson for her, because Ash is a little bit different to most players in the women's game. She can beat you about 17 different ways. And she's got variation, she's got power, she's got speed, she's got an incredible serve. And that slice backhand, even though she uses the slice backhand to set up her strength, which is her forehand, that slice backhand is a weapon in itself. So to beat Ash, you need some versatility, you need to be able to move well, and you need a lot of patience as well, because you can't go through it. So that was a great lesson for her. She did play Ash about 3 years ago at the French Open and had a bit of a look in that match as well. But, Amanda's, I'm only getting to know her. We spent about 6 weeks together. Even before that, we were swapping videos and trying to help her with her serve a little bit leading into the Australian Open. And, she's had a bit of a rough, I don't know if you know her story, she had a bit of a rough two or 3 years with her father passing away, and her ranking slumped down to about 99 before she started here. So to win the first tournament in Melbourne and then do what she did here in Australia, it just builds her confidence and puts that belief back in her game. And now you go back to work. You never stop and you keep trying to get better, and she'll physically get better as an athlete, and hopefully we can keep making her a real threat on the tour.
Can I ask you about the depth in the women's game? Because just looking at what we've seen at the present time, it doesn't look anywhere near as strong as it was in 2012 or 2002, when the top 10 were household names. I mean, I just see a real opening with the exception of Osaka and maybe your young charge Amanda. There's very few there that look capable of beating Ash Barty on her, if Ash Barty brings her best. We could be talking about a genuine Grand Slam in 2022.
No, I would take issue with that, Jared. I reckon the women's game is stronger now than it's ever been.
Okay.
Just don't have those absolute champions that are winning week in, week out, like Serena Williams or a Steffi Graf or a Monica Seles. The girls that dominated the tours, right now, there is, right from the first round, you've got to be on your game because there are so many good players in the game. Iga Świątek through to the semi-final. She can win any major at any time. Madison Keys, who plays Ash Barty, is very capable of beating Ash. She's a great player. So there is enough players left in the tournament to cause Ash a lot of problems. And as we know at the moment, any one of about 30 players can win this particular tournament. But guys, I've got to go, unfortunately.
No, you do.
Thanks, Darren.
About to start, so I better get down there. And a pleasure to speak to you guys at any time.